and give all that within one man.
Are you related to Sam Crawford's family?
I'm just a distant one.
How did you learn how to farm?
How to learn it? Watch your father.
Did the extension agent, did you keep in touch with the county agent very much?
People didn't pay too much attention to that way back then, maybe a few off more. Do
you think it did any good if you did pay attention? Did they tell you useful stuff or not?
They supposed to, they have more book on it. Now, the first line, the line of the call. And Mellon Snipes up here got the first guy, and I remember everything about. He had a jump down and dumped something, just jumped off his pile. And my daddy asked Mellon if he wanted a book for him. So I took my brother up there with a 10-quart book for him.
And that's how you got your
line. My brother had a time getting home with 10 after he ate the heaviest salt. And he went in the field in a red gully. And it was just went right straight down across it into good land. On that, with that one bucket of and the rye, so on it, you know. That was just one stick. And that wind so he didn't mess the bees. Well, that mess the bees would go that high where the line was at. And that convinced him like this.
Yeah. Quite a difference between about 3 or 4 feet and foot, huh?
Yeah, more than twice as tall as where the one, and just the distance he's going with his hand there. I don't know, he went 100 yards maybe with that book of the line, the 10-point book of the line. And at the end, he bought wire every time he got a chance.
Kind of
the
way that you used to farm and your dad used to farm, what are they different?
Kind of different. Well, if he wanted to put out lime, which he started from then on, you either got your lime spreader, a garden one, or get in with somebody and put the spridge on lime. You have a lime truck that spreads it out there. You spread it yourself. In fact, to come in here once with a load of lime in the wintertime when the ground is as wet as it could be. And my daddy told him just to dump it right in the middle of the road. I love that high. Then he said, me and my brother up there to level it down enough so you could get over it till the ground dried a little. So when it dried off, you got so you get on the land. So then and shovel that stuff up and put it in the field and clean it up and spread down the sail.
I'd never heard of Lesbedesia as a grain. What happened to it? It doesn't grow anymore, do they?
No, it just played out. They said nematodes or something would get on. You got the place you just couldn't raise it. We were raised it. It had fine look, made finest hay at all. It was a clover. There was two or three times there was cold rain and there was a cold. And people kept on raising the cold a little bit, but it didn't. It was not as good a hay and it just played out. And then they would come on in and people got to grow sort of grass and the down of clover. And the clover, the Lesbedesia hay was just a thing of the past almost down here. Well, you see a little out of advertising now, but not much.
They go fairly much with the other oats and alfalfa and that, or isn't there much?
Well, you sow it in wheat,
oats,
small grain, and the next spring sow it. And then you leave there, you come that summer. We go lush. It was fine after a few years. And then they said some kind of nematode something in the ground. It just got a place you couldn't raise it. And then we got to raise an alfalfa. There was a time there we raised alfalfa and had good luck with it. Till it got to be our alfalfa weevil, and we got so we couldn't raise that.
Did you do rotation of the crops from one area to another? Did you rotate the crops much to try to get away from that sort of thing?
How did you know about how to do that?
Well, my daddy's way, and everybody had their own way. They was on the rotating company, way around it. But he's putting in corn. Then that fall is put in small grain and sowed in red clover next spring. The clover didn't do too much in that stuff that year, but the next year you see a crop of good crop of hay, and the turnips crop of the second crop of the red clover turned up, and that would make corn too later that's turned down the way. So we bought corn about every third year.
Did the neighbors discuss how they rotated or what they do with their crops?
Some, I think everybody done it with fleas.
Where did you get together with your neighbors? Did y'all just get over at people's houses?
Well, you go to church.
Okay.
And then sing three songs before they started, trying to get the men in the house. Well, when it's over with, they come out, and they didn't know when to go home. My granddaddy was well, this was bad. But finally, when you had to go home, everybody would go home. You stayed a half hour there at church service, most any Sunday.
Were there other places you got together besides the church there?
Well, that was the main thing. On Saturday evening, usually a ball game and White Cross.
Okay.
And then we'd take off and go to play.
A ball game to watch or a ball game to play?
Ball game. They sort of had a league different communities have teams and they'd get together.
Would that be a
German league? Talk to
them. Did you play?
No, I never was. No ball game. I was always afraid of a ball. It was hard.
Did you go into Hillsboro very much?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
I got my education up here.
Didn't need it.
Was there a country store down here at Orange Grove at all?
Oh, yeah. There was a small store.
Uh-huh.
Small store, yeah. Well, you take this all over the country. Dotson's Cross Roads had a little, where you could buy sugar and coffee and popcorn, such as that thing.
Okay.
Well, a mile and a half, 2 miles up here, there was you'd be about the same thing. Well, that was on a store 3 or 4 miles back here. There was all over the country, everywhere, a little store, walking distance, buy gun shells and such as, say, you know.
Did you hunt very much?
Man.
Did you hunt very much?
No, about I can make a rabbit hole about something like that. Uh-huh. That's why I got it.
The Tears had a store down here, didn't they? The Tears.
Well, yes, I'll go back far enough. They had a good country store. And then the fellow named Reynolds, well, he run a store up here a while, and then went on down there. He run a good country store. Mm-hmm. You give about just most anything there. Mm-hmm.
Were the country stores sometimes more expensive than the bigger stores in town?
And the one bigger stores, the one you know, what you call supermarkets and such and such, they have it bigger, but I don't know.
They were cheaper, weren't they? They didn't try to make money.
And he wouldn't sell cold eggs. He said, you take a nickel and buy you some candy, and when you get some candy out of food, you have all you can eat and say, so, get right on. He said, just a cold drink was just nothing but a plate with water. You lay it down and it's gone. And you had a candy, you'd have a mess of stick candy and have something to come on at the same price.
How did you make your major purchases, like farm equipment, things like that?
Well, you were town, do that.
Mm-hmm.
You were something like that. Tier and Reynolds, I think they sell a wagon, something like that. But you take a disc cow or a grinding machine, something like that, that had to come from town.
Right. When we say town, you mean Hillsboro? You had to go to Hillsboro to get it?
Well, it was about halfway from all these towns, and either Hillsboro or Mayville. went more or less to the mail room.
Mm-hmm. Had to go pick it up at the depot? Is that where the station where the train came from?
As merchant would get it, go to the depot and get his what his stuff, and have delivery wagons to haul it out.
Mm-hmm.
But so far as I remember, they had the equipment at the store. My daddy once bought a machine, that was in World War Number One, bought a mold machine. Cost him less than $100.
Really? But that was a lot of money to him though, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, so that's a heap of money.
How important were things like Sears catalog?
If a man was in debt for $500, he thought he was
in trouble.
Yeah.
It is a great big debt.
When you started dairying for a living, did that change? Did you start having to borrow more money?
That's the only thing.
Helicopter.
That's a new kind of idea.
Yeah.
What did you say?
I was just wondering if when you started doing mostly dairy farming, if that changed, if you had to go into debt more and buy more equipment.
You didn't go into debt. You just went into it small.
and rode
into it. Now, when we went into it, we were as modern as anybody, but they got to getting them milking machines, automatic machines, and a lot of equipment, bigger tractors and bigger equipment. And we was getting older all the time. We didn't do it, so we had to go out.
How did you save your money? Did your daddy put it in the bank, or did he keep it here at the house?
He never was one to keep it in the house no more than with a small amount.
Mm-hmm.
The bank's the best place, safest place. Mm-hmm. And back then, they wouldn't bother you.
Mm-hmm.
The people didn't lock up nothing to mouth and nothing. Nobody wouldn't bother you. And the equipment, they all had a hound in it, and they didn't want nothing had a hound in it.
Have you seen the neighborhood change since when you were growing up?
There's getting to be a whole lot more of the neighborhood than used to be. Now you see the trailers in there, about every patch of woods is a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many houses as ever been, and there's just a lot more people as ever been. And everything has changed to a certain extent.
When did that start?
Well, everybody was truthful and honest. And now you can't hardly say that anymore.
When the trailers began coming in?
Not too many of them were around 20 years ago, was it? I don't think there was too many of them 20 years ago. But now there's trailers everywhere. And it would have been a lot of houses built. And then somebody hadn't been in the trailer.
What do you think about the people coming in, or having people come in?
Well, if people got to live somewhere, then they have to do the best they can. Nobody else don't object to it, either, I know of.
You mentioned the last mill that was down there Mr. Armstrong was involved with. He's sold that piece and moved. Do you know where he moved to, Mr. Coy Armstrong?
He's up here close to Hallfields Church. You know where that's at in that neighborhood. He's living with his brother.
His mama died?
Yeah. She was real, real old.
She buried up right here in the cemetery. Was her name Nancy? I just happened to notice coming by one of the grave
Armstrong.
Markers. That, mm-hmm.
Well, that's him because there's no more Armstrongs up there. They was originally from Surrey County and Surrey and Wilkes County. And they bought down here and run a mill there for a number of years, and the mill just played out. Well, people quit raising wheat. And
it was
a
grist mill, not a lumber mill?
Yeah. It was a grist mill, but they were ground corn and they ground wheat. They had two mills in there. They sold lots of corn meal at Carbon Chapel Hill and sold it.
They used the regular grindstone, peristone to grind it with?
Yes, but their wheat mill was a roller mill, which was two rollers. One turned faster than the other, and that's what ground it. And six roller stands. They had three stands with two sets of rollers. And they grind, you just kind of crack it one time, and they mash it just a little bit more the next time, and a little bit more the next time. And that way they really grind up the brand into the flour. And then it'd go down and come up and pour it over into the next one. It'd go down and come up the elevator and pour it over into the next one. And they got the flour that way. They didn't grind it all at one time like a rock did. Continue grinding and grinding the grain up into the flour. It made a white flour, but in there. It was in food. Now this one up the creek up here, it was the wheat mill was a burr mill that ground it, and it run up in and silk, and it separated. It didn't go around just one time.
That was the first mill that was there?
I guess this was the first one down here, but that was the burr mill, they call it, the ground on the rock.
Burr mill?
Burr mill had it.
The mill that got it.
Mm-hmm. They'd peck this and get it rough, and then the next rockers would turn it over and peck it and get it rough, and the top one turned, and there's a hole in the top of the rock that the wheat come through and pour in there, and they grind it and throw it out. They just grind it one time, but when the roller mill later on was more machine, more advanced, and it's just a double mill in the first one.
The corn, even at the last mill down here, the corn was still stone ground.
It was burr ground on just on the burrs, on the rocks. And they grind it slow, and they didn't heat the meal, and it made a better meal than these new mills that ground it so fast and getting hot. So the old water ground meal. It has the best roll of this corn meal. Well, they had to grind it slow and they didn't get the meal hot.
We wanted to ask you about this reservoir, too. When did you first hear about the plans to build this? Or how did you first know this was in the works?
There was a little talk about it. I don't know. 12 years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago. And if they didn't get busy until about 8 years ago, something like that. There was a little talk though beforehand, but it didn't start all at one time, just gradually grew.
Who's talking?
Neighbors? Neighbors mostly. It's a newspaper.
There was a meeting at Wallace. What was that meeting? Was that legislative?
We had a meeting down there. That's
that,
right.
Was that with the legislature, or what was that meeting?
It was concerning the legislature, and that's been a long time. That's several years before we got started. It's again the first talk it up. We're gonna have some more water at Chapel Hill.
Did somebody come out to your house and ask you about selling some land? Did they come out to the house?
people wouldn't sell it till they found out they were going to lose it anyhow. So mm-hmm. they're going to kill it and take it. And then people got to do it. So, yeah.
A lot of your neighbors around here sold land. A lot of your neighbors sold land too around here.
Well, where they had land goes to the creek, they joined the creek. There were quite a number of people on there that went to the creek. Six, 4 miles, I expect, from here to the, where the first dam, the big dam, where there was land on both sides, and there was quite a number of people on there that went to the creek. But they bought three or four tracks right quick. But the ones that held out the longest, they got more far by holding out. Mm-hmm. And they still haven't got the kids, man. We ain't got other friends, but I imagine they will when they're ready.
Think that'll be soon?
I just couldn't tell them. I don't think they're particularly needed now. They got this temporary dam up there, and they can draw the water down, let it go, they got to sort of going out and let it go down the creek. And then I've heard that they talk about this big a hole in the creek and let the water run down and just pump it on, don't they? As long as there's water, enough water to supply, they don't need no big dam there, particularly now. Because you got a reserve up there, they can open a valve and let it come through and then pump it out of this hole down here. And they don't pick the need, don't have to do it now because they won't get ready to it, get it unless you drive well or something. You have to do something. The Chapel Hill is growing, fast growing. New buildings going up all around.
I bet you've really seen it grow, huh? From the time you were a little kid to now.
Well, I remember the one type of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get
think it's a fair way to decide to use the water over here? Do you think it's a fair way to decide to use the water? Do you think Chapel Hill has a fair claim on this water here?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. There'd be no count to us whatsoever. See, we already got two wells. We don't need no more water unless we go to irrigate more. The crops, but they won't pay to do that now. And they need the water, and they got the votes, and they got the law on their side, and they ain't nothing to handle.
You keep losing your land, though.
Well, they're paying us fine, and paying us a reasonable price fine, I think.
Are you going to lose income from the land?
You see, 135 acres down there, down to 100 acres, and a fourth of the land's gone. Yeah, you can't. A young man couldn't come here and farm and make a living now. But there's nothing you can do about it.
Would you be able to use that money to buy more land on the other side?
If you sell it, but you won't sell it.
Who owns that land?
The Lord's on the right smart. I've been little bank's Lord, Plans Lord, Earl. Yeah, you can buy it and anywhere you find it, you can find somebody and sell it.
So there's no more land available for you to buy?
No, you'd be hard put at to find a place. In fact, if people come out from town and just give you most any kind of price for an acre to build a house on, and you can't pay that kind of price in farming. It's not practical.
Is the price reasonable for the land itself, or is it reasonable for the land and considering how much money people could be making off of it in the future?
Well, even the farming, there's not much to be made on farming anymore. Mm-hmm. And you just can't pay much for land and farm it. I don't reckon you can farm it now and pay for it. Mm-hmm. The average place, I expect if you rent it out, the tax, county tax will be about what your rent would be. So it's just not practical to farm it.
Do you think with the reservoir, will that affect your taxes? Will it make the land?
Maybe.
Will the reservoir affect your taxes? Will it make them go up?
Yeah, it's already going up. Gradually going up now. It's, And we paid $750-something the year before last. And it was better than $700 each year. They're losing money. See, that's going up that much. And I can remember my daddy paid $40.
For the same amount of land?
But now that $40 is a lot more money than $40 would be there.
Oh, yeah.
Did you all get involved in the Cane Creek Conservation Authority?
Mm-hmm.
You did? How did you get involved in that?
Well, everybody else is getting in the same boat. Well, they didn't want to get it, we didn't want to have it. That is it.
It didn't matter,
so
yeah.
Did you go to the meetings and things?
Were they in the community buildings out
there? Who asked you to come?
Yeah.
Who asked you to come to the meeting?
I'm not.
How'd you decide to go?
I don't know, usually maybe you talk and everybody gets involved and you don't know how
it
happens.
Heard about it. Think it did any good?
It helped it all, but I don't know if it did any good or not in the long run. But maybe way more than that.
What about the people? Do you think it brought the people together more in the neighborhood or?
Say, used to be everybody farmed, but now some of them work at one time, somebody's there, and somebody's the other. And I guess, no, I don't know what you would say.
Did you meet a lot more people in the organization than you've known before?
Well, a lot of people come, extra, and a lot of them be strangers, but I wouldn't know who they were.
Did you get to know them? Was there any other contact other than
that? No. Most of the land was owned by people that lived here a long time, and these folks that had moved in, they maybe had just a small amount of land, an acre or two, and they won't know what was going on, but they weren't involved in like they was going to have to lose it.
He said that the people had lived here a long time, some of them and others were newcomers that only had an acre or two.
Mm-hmm. Well, most of them was trailer folks and come out and build a home on this small one and work in town. Well, in fact, a lot of our folks now are working in town. They live here, but they make so much more working in a job at town than can farming, so they went to it.
Are some doing both, working in town and farming, or
yeah, some of them. Some of them are dairy farmers, and the women folks are working in public works. Some of them. The men is farming.
So it's usually the women who have the cash jobs from the dairy farms, and not the men. It's the women on the dairy farms who have the cash jobs, and the men are the ones who stay on the farm.
Yes, but the women, I'd say more or less all the young women in the neighborhood. Maybe some of the dairy women, but not as much so as the other women.
Do any of the women milk?
Yeah, a good part of the milk is done, the women now.
Did your
mother milk?
She had enough youngins, so she
didn't have to.
We got a one man. They'll argue that women won't get more milk from a cow than men, and I expect it's so, too. if a man, an old cow, don't come in right, he'll pick up a stick and bust her over. The women will drive her up and drive in not easy, and then you'll get more milk.
Think they have a gentler touch, too?
Yeah, that's right there. I think that's the secret of it right there.
But not many women milk back when you did hand milking if there were children to do the milking?
I'm supposed to do it. I don't See, there's more and more of a family. There's more family kind of back there.
Some of them
throw
in this year. Some of them throw in this year. Before the children got here. How long did you spend milking at each milking? If you had, two, three cows? One person would milk each cow? Did you have to milk more than one cow each other?
Mm-hmm. We had seven cows, and our other brother went to the army, and we had seven milk cows.
So you didn't have a fight about it every day?